it is always an honor to be here. This is home, and it's always good to come home and be reminded of who we are, and never give up on the seeds of revival and hunger and passion and the real, the more, right? One thing I love about this church is, and here's the deal, I could not rob you by giving you some packaged message. I would never do that. You wouldn't get yourself here if you wanted just religion, okay? Because you can flip on YouTube and get that, you know, the stay-at-home stuff, which is cool to supplement, right? But community is required to grow. Because as long as you're by yourself, you can think you have all the fruit of the Spirit. You know, but when you know, I remember Doug Stringer said, when he got married at 52 years old, he said, man, I found out I did not have all of the fruit of the Spirit. So anyway, but no, it's great to be here. And it's kind of like you guys, there's this song that Callie Hingenthal sings from Bethel called Spirit Move. And the first line, it just grabs you. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, wow, that is just a cool song. Like 10 or 12 years ago, I can feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I'm not here to play church, and neither are you. I know you got stuff. I got stuff. I know sometimes the devil loves to lie to you and tell you, you screwed up, or you've got this issue, and I ain't ever going to use you. That's a lie from hell. It is not based on you. It's not based on me. It's based on the grace of God, period. So all of this judgment that we get, you know, we see some other preacher fall and we go, I knew it. How dare we? How dare we do that? Sure, they need to live in purity. But come on, we all need Jesus. Never underestimate your necessity of Jesus. Never. Don't ever think you got it made, because you don't. You don't. Last time I checked, my Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. I don't have it made, he does. Period. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not my faith, it's his faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's like there's a tractor beam from this church that knew when we were leaving home and just all of a sudden just locked onto us and just started doing stuff all the way here. A few things here and a few things there. And the reason I say I can feel it in my bones, you're about to move, I love that first line of that song, is because I feel it in my bones. He's about to move. Can you feel it in the air? I know we walk by faith and not by sight, but there's a wind of the Spirit. It doesn't move your hair, but it'll move your heart. Amen? And so I'm not going to patronize you at all with some little ridiculous boxed sermon. I really wanted to bring a word from God, a message from the Lord to stir us up, all of us, because we need to show the world what heaven has in mind. What heaven has in mind. And I want to get into this message today, but I got to give you this. Before I preach a word, I want to release a word. I've got to release a word. And so the opening is this. It's not set in stone. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but it's not set in stone. And I know that's your maiden name. No relation there to that word. But it's not set in stone. And you think about, like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? It's not set in stone. When something is set in stone, it's like when somebody would take the old chisel and the hammer and chisel something into marble or into stone. You know, if the king sent a letter with a wax seal on it, the wax could melt. You know, you try some other way of messaging back then, and even today is like if you don't save on your computer, it's not on a cloud, and you lose it, it's gone, right? But when something is set in stone, we got the Ten Commandments. Those were set in stone with Moses and God. God wrote it with his finger, right? It's set in stone. Well, I believe in the Ten Commandments. I hope y'all do too. We don't even be going around breaking those Ten Commandments. Those are good. Hey, whether you're a Christian or not, those Ten Commandments need to go on your school. They need to go on your courthouse because we don't need to be doing any of that stuff. Okay? We don't need to be breaking those Ten Commandments. But the Holy Ghost dropped a phrase into my spirit and I couldn't shake it. He said, it's not set in stone. So somebody in this room, whether it's a father, a mother, son, or daughter, has been rehearsing the worst case scenario. Like it's already happened. Hadn't even happened yet. And you're already playing like, what am I going to do? Like, I know what's going to happen. I'm just waiting. You are using faith, but you're using it the wrong way. You've been screening the movie of dread in the theater of your mind, playing it back, fast-forwarding, rewinding, and the devil's been selling popcorn at the door. But the Father says today, stop the dread. Stop the fear. Believe only, and thou shalt see the glory of God. Say this with me today. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. You need to say that every day. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, say every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes we hear these verses, I know, and it goes in one ear and out the other. You need to like have the hand of God sit right in between your ears and grab a hold of that word in your mind and hold on to it. Bill Johnson said, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. Okay? I remember this other thing he said one time. He said, your deliverance begins the moment you're no longer impressed with the size of your problem. You're worshiping your problem instead of worshiping your God. Well, no, I'm trying to be a steward of it. I'm trying to be rational. Listen, faith is spiritual common sense. It doesn't make sense in the natural. You need to be supernaturalized. You need to remember you're a son of God. Period. Hear me this. Even though the enemy has planted in you about your marriage, your children, your finances, the doctor's report, that court date, that closing date, that conversation that you've been dreading, every thought the enemy has planted in you, it is not set in stone. It ain't. The only thing set in stone is the word of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything else is wet clay in the potter's hand. Give him a shot. And the Lord is saying to somebody this morning, believe me, and I will convert your dread into bread. And you will feast on it in joyful confidence. Whew. Say yes, Lord. That fear that you've been chewing on, God is about to turn it into a table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, Psalm 23:5. The very thing that was trying to swallow you, God is going to make you sit down and eat it for breakfast. Wow. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, it's not set in stone. Oral Roberts said, something good is going to happen to you today. How many of y'all remember that? He used to say, stick your hand out toward the television screen and touch my hand with yours. People would do that. They'd get up out of their easy boy at home, or lazy boy at home and go up and touch the screen and they get healed. Hallelujah. Well, how come that happened to his ministry and not mine? Well, are you doing that? Like, get yourself your phone and get out there. Stop worrying about being an influencer and become a healer. Just say, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I got the power of Jesus and I got to shoot it somewhere. Lasers of healing. Boom, right here in Jesus' name on Pastor Lena. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Like, who cares if they ever see your face too? Because you've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer. You know, it's so funny. We say that, and then we're like, how come nobody's liking my stuff? It's like, I thought you were dead. I thought you'd been crucified, yo. Man, I'm getting a little Detroit up in here. Hold on. Hold on. Anyway. So on the way up here, or down here rather, coming south, we had just left home, and I'll get into that in a second, but like, we just had some random things happen. It was really good stuff. It was kind of cool. It connected us, but I'll tell you that in a minute. But point one is this: think different. You know, I love the Apple commercial about think different. You know, if you've never watched from 2007, the year Olivia was born, Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone. If you've never watched that 7 or 10 minute deal, masterful. I mean, I wish I could have been in that room with the electricity in there. And he's just like, it's a web browser, it's a phone, it's this. And it starts spinning together, and he goes, it is! And BlackBerry wept to its grave, right? But I mean, it's like, you see this, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like Steve Jobs just gets up there and masterfully does this thing. And it's just really cool how revolutionary that was. But think different. Think different. People were upset because the first iPhone didn't have a keyboard. What? It's like 19 years later, do we even care? I mean, I'm glad it doesn't have a keyboard on it. It's got a bigger screen because of that. Right? But think different. Renew your mind. Now, here is how the dread gets converted to bread. It starts in the mind. The enemy's whole strategy against the body of Christ is a mind game. He's been running the same play since the garden. Get her to think wrong about the Father and the whole house falls. But Paul says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to prove the will of God? Get renewed in your mind. Bill Johnson said, the mind is either at war with God or it is being renewed. There is no middle ground. Let me say that again. The mind is either at war with God or it's being renewed. There's no middle ground. Jerry Savelle said, faith is spiritual common sense. I love that. Hallelujah. There is a Greek word for that word renewing, metanoia. It means a change of mind. It's when Jesus said, repent. He was talking about think different. Think different. It means a change of mind, a turning around, a complete reversal of how you see. How you see. The Father is calling his sons and daughters out of suspicion and into sonship. Out of fear and into faith. Out of small thinking and into kingdom thinking. You've got to exit the lower room and enter the upper room. You know, let me just say this for a second. You know, when Passion came out and they were this worship craze band, you know, it was cool. I actually was in this airport in Phoenix and I see all these guys carrying these cases and they look cool. They look like, you know, they were cool. They're walking and here I am just kind of carrying my backpack to go preach somewhere. I don't remember. And I was like, who are these guys? I went up to him and I was like, who are y'all? This guy goes, hey, my name's Chris. I'm like, Chris what? He goes, my name's Chris Tomlin. I was like, who's that? This was like 98, 97 before they got really... Anyway, he's like, yeah, we're from Texas. I said, so am I, baby. Anyway, I was living in Scottsdale at the time, and I was just like, hook 'em horns. And they're like, we're Aggies. I was like, onomatopoeia. I don't know, what do you say? It's like, I, no offense, you know? Hey, go Aggies, gig 'em. So anyway, no, seriously, I don't care. But Chris Tomlin and these guys, and I was just like, this is just really cool. But I was like, after they came out, I was like, I met those guys. I met them in the airport. They were carrying guitars and all this stuff. I was like, God, you know, Passion is a super cool name for a band, but God, may we, the body of Christ, never replace our passion for somebody's worship band name. Hallelujah. No offense. I love Passion music. All I'm saying is this, like, we can't get so lost in this postmodernistic age that we switch words for the original meaning in our own hearts. right? Like, God, passion's awesome, but God, I'm the one who needs passion, Lord. And I can't stir it up myself. I need you to baptize me again, Holy Ghost. The reason I brought that up is because Upper Room, there's an Upper Room church somewhere in Dallas area. And that's awesome. People go all over Upper Room. Cool. But dude, don't go there and not have your own Upper Room encounter with God. I'm saying, you ain't got to go to Dallas to have an Upper Room. Jesus will invade your space right where you're at. He wants to. You don't think, listen, you may be like, I'm hungry for God. He's hungry for you. Hey, when he went up to that fig tree and he was hungry, Jesus was hungry. It didn't have any fruit. He cursed it. Jesus is hungry today and he wants fruit from you and me. Saints, God is for us. You got to leave the basement of what if it goes wrong and climb up into the penthouse of if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Saints, God is renovating the architecture of your imagination this morning. And that renovation has a name. It spells three letters, B-I-G. Big. Believing in God, B-I-G. Big. Point two. Two states, two witnesses, go big in big deal. I'll explain what that means. And church, listen, let me tell you what the Father did to us on this trip. I want you to hear this carefully because heaven was speaking on both ends of the road on that 20-hour road trip. And I don't know if I went to the bathroom, had to go to the bathroom more, or if they had to go to the bathroom more. But whenever any of us had to go, we went. So we're all good. Anyway, say, I love road trips. Anyway, on our way out of Michigan, I pulled up behind a car at a stoplight, and the license plate read two words, go big. Now, that's not really that strange after I thought about it for a little while because one of Michigan's, University of Michigan's mottos is go big blue, right? Big blue, go big. So anyway, but I hadn't been thinking about that. I was thinking about go big. I thought, Lord, that's a word. That's like that. I mean, it's a literal word on the license plate in front of me. And, you know, I'm one of those, I try to drive safe while I'm trying to take the picture of something, you know? I'm like, you know, trying to not let everybody around me see it, you know? And Christy's like, put your phone down. Anyway, but I thought, Lord, that's a word. Now, you might call that a coincidence. I call that a koinonia, okay? A divine partnership between heaven and a Michigan license plate. Amen. But the Father wasn't finished. He wasn't done. Because when we arrived in Texas, and I am not making this up, church, I pulled up behind another car and the license plate read, big deal. And I'm like, God is saying something. Big, go big, big deal. Two states, two license plates, two witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, in the mouths of two or three witnesses or license plates shall every word be established. Amen. Michigan said, go big. Texas said, big deal. It's kind of fun that the big house is in Michigan as they play football up there. It's a huge stadium. Texas is known as everything's bigger in Texas, right? So just this big, B-I-G, believe in God. Are you hanging with me? Okay, listen. It's time to go big because the big deal is already done. Listen carefully. Go big is the command. Big deal is the covenant. Go big is what the Father is asking you to do. Big deal is what the Father has already done. It's not big deal. It's like, big deal. That's a big deal. The cross was the big deal of all eternity. The blood was the price. The empty tomb was the receipt. The new covenant is the contract, cut in the body of Jesus, signed in his blood, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great or big salvation? Hebrews 2:3. That word great means so vast in the Greek. It means so vast, immense, unspeakable, that it is that to dismiss it is unthinkable. In plain English, heaven is shouting at us, this is a big salvation. deal. So when the father said, go big in Michigan, he was issuing an invitation. When he said big deal in Texas, he was reminding us the inheritance is already paid for. The deal's already cut. Covenant is already in force. Now, let's say, it is hot here. I'm just going to say it is hot. It is, Houston. I went running this morning. I was just like, I'm running in the rain. I don't care. So I ain't running at 3:00 today. I ain't doing that. No. And as I'm running, I'm thanking God for air conditioning when I get back. And I'm just like, what if y'all had air conditioner at your house and you're sitting in there and you're sweating? You're in your house and you're sweating. And you get somebody that comes over and says, why are you sweating? Well, because it's hot outside. I know, but air conditioner, like, where's your air conditioner? And you say, I have an air conditioner? And you're getting fatigued and worn out, and you're drinking Gatorades because you're getting deplenished, and you're just kind of like, if you got it but you ain't using it, wow, you're going to live like you ain't got it. Wow. Right? Right? Yeah. All I'm saying is you got it with Jesus. You got the big deal. Yeah. Go big. Yeah. Go big. Covenant is already in force. You're not striving to earn what God has already finished. You're stepping into what God has already secured. You're not striving, you're surrendering into it. Hallelujah. The enemy has convinced an entire generation of believers to think small, to dream small, to pray small, to give small, to expect small. Lord, if it be thy will, come on, man. Like, grow up. Put the cereal aside and start eating some meat. I'm serious. This friend of mine, he called me this week, and we're talking, and he goes, hey, listen, man, pray for my son. He's a coworker. Pray for my son. His stomach was bloated like 3 to 4 times normal size. Said he's in his 30s. He was 150 pounds who had lost 30 pounds now. So now he's 120 pounds. He's got this huge growth. He can't pass anything through his intestines. They found a growth in his small intestine. They had to remove a foot of his small intestine, a foot of it. And he's calling me after this to tell me he's in the hospital. And he's not even asking me to pray for him. He's just telling me I'm dealing with this. So the project we're working on, just keep that in mind. Okay, hey, no sweat. This comes first, man. This is your family. He goes, okay. So I said, yeah, he's got a tube in his mouth, and then he's got a tube through his nose. He's got all these things hooked up to him, and all these wires hooked up to him, and every time he wakes up, he notices he's got things in his nose and his mouth, and he is bothered. He's just irritated. He's frustrated. He feels like, I don't know what you call that. It's just, there's probably a medical term for it, but it's just annoyed and scared and just bothered because you got all this junk in you. And I said, hey, bro, I'm going to pray for your son, Justin. I'm going to pray for him. That, because he's also scared it's going to be cancerous. They're going to do a study on it, biopsy. And I said, I'm going to pray for him. That number one, they start pulling these things out because they're like, yeah, he doesn't need this anymore. He's healing fast. I said, I'm going to pray for an accelerated healing, that they're going to pull one out. And then they're going to go, oh, yeah, we could pull this one out. And within a matter of time, because they didn't know how long it was going to be in him. Within just, I was praying for an accelerated removal of all his stuff. And then I said, and I'm going to pray that they get the biopsy back. And he does not have terminal cancer, in Jesus' name. So I get a text yesterday from him, from Vic, and he says, hey, I just wanted to let you know, right after we prayed, they started pulling these things out, and they were gone. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, wow, keep praying, Jeremy. I was like, yeah, woo, come on, Jesus. And then he said they tested the liquid around the tumor, and it is benign. It's not, is that non-cancerous? Okay, so Anyway, so I mean, come on. It's like, but like the fluid and stuff around that tumor was non-cancerous. Praise God. Hey, if that was you, you'd be like running around the room. You'd be like, y'all ever done a Jericho March? We're doing one right now. And so anyway, I'm just like, wow, God, like I didn't get on the floor and like beat the floor with the arrows or anything, you know, like the story in the Old Testament and say, heal him, Jesus. I just said, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, heal Justin. Lord, heal Justin. Get those things out of him and just heal him up so he doesn't need those things anymore. And just thank you, God, it ain't going to kill him. This cancer is not going to kill him in Jesus' name. You're going to pull it out. Hallelujah. You know, it's just funny because, like, some of y'all are like, well, I want to see that. Well, like, go find somebody who's got something wrong and pray for them. Oh, you got a headache? Here's some Advil. Glory to God. Come on, man. Like, take a risk because it ain't you. It's his blood. It's his name. It's his cross. He bore it for you. He bore it for me. Hallelujah. Yesterday, well, so we stop in Texarkana because we drove 14 and a half hours and we tried to get a hotel in we tried to get a hotel in Little Rock or Hot Springs or something. And, you know, when I'm going, I'm not, even if it's two exits back, I ain't turning around. I'm like, mm-mm, no rewinds here. We are just going. If we miss it, and so she's like, shoot, and I missed it, you know. And so she's like, but the app is saying there's one in Texarkana. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so anyway, we're like, okay, all right, buckle in. Here we go. So we're just zooming. We get there at like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. And so we check in. We go to the little restaurant next door. We go to bed. Wake up in the morning. And I come. I've got my stuff. I'm heading to the car. I ain't waiting for the cart. I am carrying my stuff. And then I'm going to come back and get the rest of the stuff. And so anyway, I open the door, and I'm waiting for the elevator. And off the elevator comes this housekeeper. Now, we're in Texarkana. Do y'all know where Dalhart is? It's like 9 hours northwest, okay? So we're in Texarkana, this gateway to Texas. We pastored in this gateway to Texas up here. And so anyway, we're at this hotel, the Fairfield in Texarkana, and all of a sudden this lady, this housekeeper, gets off the elevator, and it's a lady who went to our church in Dalhart, who is working there now, and her daughter and son-in-law live there. And I turned around. And I'm like, what do I do? I don't, you know, and I saw her. And so she's like, oh, my Lord. And I was like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I just saw your daughters down in the gym. And I was like, well, Christy's down here in the room. Why don't you freak her out, too? So we went down there. But it was just a cool connection, right? Like small world, right? Third floor, random hotel, Texarkana. And here she is, Christine. I was like, you know, hey, while we're standing there, she limped down the hallway because she had a problem with her ankle. And while we're knocking on the door, and Christy comes out, and we talk for a minute, and I said, Christine, what can we do for you? Christina, what can we do for you? She said, I don't know. I said, how about we pray for that ankle? So we prayed for her ankle, and we believe God healed that. I'm running this morning, and I mentioned that again. It's not a big deal. But I get to this intersection down the street from my dad's house. It's Bermuda Dunes and El Dorado or something. And I hit that T, and I'm turning left, and I didn't have my AirPods on, or I didn't have my phone or anything. And I turn left, and this car had stopped at that stop sign and just stopped. And you know those cars that, like, you hit the brake and the car stops, like the engine comes off? So that happened, and I'm like, and they start rolling the window down. I'm like, uh-uh. Like, what is happening, you know? And all of a sudden, I hear this voice, this sweet voice goes, is that Jeremy Hamby? And I was like, why, yeah, it is. She goes, Jeremy, it's so-and-so. And she goes, you probably don't remember me. I said, I totally remember you. She goes, well, I go to church over here now. And, you know, she used to go to my parents' church back 35 years ago. She's like, tell your sweet parents I said hello. God bless you. And I was like, okay. So I'm running, and I'm like, man, God is just like these random divine appointment kind of things, right? The devil is whispering to fathers and mothers, sons and daughters in this room, just survive. Just keep the lights on. You don't matter. Nobody knows where you're at. Nobody cares where you're at. You're by yourself. Nobody cares. If you died, nobody would know. Bro, on the third floor of a random hotel in Texarkana, boom. At a random intersection in Quail Valley, Texas, boom. All I'm going to say is this. When you want God to have your number, he's going to have your number. When you're paying attention, you're going to know that God is real and the Spirit's about to move because you can feel it in your bones. Go big. Big deal. The Father in heaven is shouting over you today from Michigan and Texas. Go big because of what I did at Calvary. It was a big deal. Psalm 81:10 says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You serve a God who flung galaxies into orbit with the breath of his mouth. You serve a God who fed 5,000 with a sack lunch. You serve a God who emptied a tomb on the third day, and you're asking him for parking spaces. Lord, I see what you've done for others, God. Shade, just give me a shade spot, Lord. I live in Houston. You've called me to this city, God. I need shade, Lord. Hear me, church. Go big is the invitation. Big deal is the foundation. And the way you walk in both is B-I-G, believing in God. I remember, I think one of the first messages I preached here before I like started traveling way back then, like 2000 or something, I preached a message called Believing and Get Going. And I talked about, you know, you're sitting in the boat and God's saying, get out of the boat and start something. And you're like, but show me the money, God. Show me that money, Jesus. I believe you, Lord. Yes, show me that money, God. You show him your obedience, he'll show you the money. I'm serious. You're like, oh, if God just gives me a sign. Your obedience is his sign. I mean, listen, we gotta stop tolerating no obedience. I wouldn't even call it disobedience. It's like you're slipped into neutral and you're just floating down the river. The kingdom of God is not some lazy river float. It ain't on the Frio River. You are in the river of God and that torrent is flowing strong. Hallelujah. Point three, dominion. Sons and daughters reigning. Now watch this. Go big is connected to a deeper word, and the word is dominion. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. Notice, let them have dominion, not him, not her, them. Male and female, sons and daughters together. Dominion was never a gender assignment. It was a family inheritance. Amen. Ephesians 2:6, it says, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you seated, saint? In heavenly places. With whom? With Christ Jesus. Doing what? Reigning. Romans 5:17 says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is for somebody this morning. This is from John Bevere. He said, the greater hardship you endure, the greater the authority God entrusts to you. Some of y'all been through some stuff. You need to stop kind of like, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. You need to shift out of woundedness to warriorness. You know, the other day, we were going through something tough. I was going through something tough, and Christy goes, now, what would it look like? What would it look like if you considered this all joy? And I was slain in the spirit right there under the anointing. No. No. I said, I don't know, Mrs. Hamby. What would it look like for me to consider this all joy? She just sitting there. Now, Jeremy, what would this look like? I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. Shouldn't have opened my mouth. I should have been a happy camper. I should have been. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Anyway, you know, I love how the old preachers used to say this. We are to rule, not drool. Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How many of y'all got Jesus in you? I know sometimes you're kind of like, I don't feel like I'm reigning. Well, you need to stop feeling and start being, because your feelings are going to lie to you. Amen. Amen. Too much of the church has been drooling on the sidelines when we should be ruling from the throne room. Too many fathers have been driveling in self-pity when they should be decreeing in the spirit. Too many mothers have been carrying burdens they were called to crush under their feet. Too many sons and daughters have been begging for what God has already deeded to them. It's kind of crazy when you ask God to give you something he's already given you. You were born to reign. You were reborn to reign in abundance. Dominion is not permission. It is your position. Amen? Dominion is not a permission. It is your position. Henry Nouwen said, Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, and power is a false identity. It's an illusion. Loudly and clearly, he says, you are not what the world makes you, but you are children of God. Stop for a second. The Bible says in Romans 8, all creation awaits with eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. That word sons is not a gender. It is basically the offspring of God in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. You are a child of God in Christ Jesus. When we learn to rule our thought life, our tongue, appetites, calendar, household, and the spirit, we step into the dominion God assigned to us in the garden and restored to us at the cross. When a mother in this room learns to rule her atmosphere, her words, her prayers, her covering, she releases generations into their destiny. When a son or daughter believes God big, they break ceilings their fathers and mothers couldn't reach. Jürgen Moltmann said, resurrection is not a consoling opium, soothing us with the promises of the better world and the hereafter. Resurrection is the energy for a rebirth of this life. The hope doesn't point to another world. It is focused on the redemption of this one. You're carriers and couriers of deliverance, of redemption, and of resurrection power. Saint, that word dominion still has your name on it. You don't reign by trying harder. You reign by believing in God, and that's the secret of the throne room. That's how heaven transfers authority to his children, through faith, not striving, because the deal is already done. Mario Murillo said this, why stake your life on a world that is coming apart instead of a kingdom that is coming together? Wow. I want to tell you this story I heard from Jerry Savelle. This is really cool. It's really, really funny, because I'm listening to it and going, where is this going? So Jerry Savelle took Oral Roberts to Africa on a ministry trip. Part of the assignment was sitting down with government dignitaries. Because here's, I'm going to tell you this. Some of y'all are like, man, I want to believe bigger. I want to ask bigger. I want to live bigger. And I want there to be an anointing, a prophetic edge on this story to enlarge your thoughts, your heart, your mind. So stop begging for crumbs when you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. So Jerry takes Oral Roberts to Africa on a ministry trip. Part of the assignment was sitting down with government dignitaries to negotiate for land, a few hundred acres or so, to build a medical facility, to pay for it, and to enlist and engage all these Oral Roberts University medical students to serve there, to pay for it and give it back to the government as a gift of the kingdom of God. Jerry is at the table with these dignitaries doing business, right? And Oral Roberts is sitting right next to him, scribbling on napkins, crumbling them up. He'd scribble on one and then crumble it up and throw it on the table next to him. And Jerry's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, these are leaders of this nation. He throws them on the table again, scribbles again, crumpling and throwing. Jerry is getting embarrassed. He's thinking, what in the world is Oral Roberts doing? This is rude. After the meeting, or during a break, Jerry pulls Oral Roberts aside and he says, Brother Roberts, what are you doing? Oral said, I was bored listening to you. I was bored out of my mind, Jerry. Jerry said, bored? I'm giving it my best. Oral said, yes, bored listening to you dream so small with these government officials. He said, I finally wrote my own name backwards on a napkin just to give myself something to do. Jerry said, well, what should I have been doing? And Oral Roberts looked him in the eye and said, ask bigger. Instead of asking for 5 acres or 500 acres, ask for 5,000 acres. Jerry said, yes, sir. He went back, asked for the 5,000 acres to be given to him, and they gave him 5,000 acres to build a facility. There's nothing too big for God. Oral Roberts said this. There's nothing too big for God. Expect miracles. Listen, they come by faith, not by accident. Church, how many 5-acre prayers have you been praying when God has a 5,000 acre answering, waiting on the other side of one bold ask? John 16:24, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. When you see the invisible, Oral Roberts said, when you see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Make no small plans in this house. I know Oral Roberts had this plaque on his front, on the front of his desk. It said, make no little plans here. Mario Murillo said, boldness is the golden key to influencing a nation. Boldness. Make no small plans in this house. The Father, listen, the Father is not honored by your timidity. He's glorified by your audacity. Michigan, now listen, heaven has now given us 3 witnesses. Michigan said, go big. Texas said, big deal. And Oral Roberts said, ask bigger. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. How many of y'all received this today? Holy Ghost is hammering the same nail 3 times. Go big, big deal, ask bigger. That's a covenant cord around your prayer life today. And the way you ask bigger is believe in God, B-I-G. Because the size of your ask is determined by the size of the God you believe in. And the size of the deal he's already cut for you. So as I wind this down, I want to share something else that I saw as we were heading here. I saw a stump, a tree stump. And so point 5 is this, the stump, what looks dead is alive. And before I land this plane, I want to share this with you. I saw a vision of a big tree stump. It had been freshly cut down. From the outside, it looked finished, final, over, like somebody had taken a chainsaw to a dream. But underneath, the root system was deep. It was extensive. It was rich. It was healthy. And out of the sides of that stump, out of the sides of the stump, little green sprigs were breaking through the bark. The trajectories were a little different than the original tree. They weren't growing where you'd expect, but they were green and they were budding and they were flourishing. In other words, the tree had been going this way. It was freshly cut. And now it's growing every way. The Lord said, what looks dead is very much alive because of the unseen, because of the root system. Don't give up. New life is breaking forth. Isaiah 11:1 says this, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Don't be like, well, it ain't the original God. It's this little sprig. Jesus was a sprig. Kind of changed the world, y'all. Saved the world from its sins. On the cross. Never despise the day of small beginnings, the word of God says. Job 14:7-9 says this, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Through the scent of water, it will bud. The scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Bill Johnson said, whenever God restores something, he restores it to a place greater than it was before. Some saint in this room, a father, mother, son, or daughter, is looking at a stump this morning in your heart. A marriage that got cut down, a son or daughter that walked away, a business that went under, a ministry assignment you thought was buried. But God says the roots are still alive. The scent of water is in the air, and new shoots are breaking out the sides. And they may not look like the original tree, but they will bear fruit you never imagined. Don't bury what God is about to resurrect. The roots are alive because somebody somewhere is still believing in God. Now, as I close, let me read this. I want to read this to you because this is an apostolic prayer that Paul prayed. It's one of my favorite prayers in the Bible. It's Philippians 3, 14 through 20. If you've got your Bible, just turn there with me. If this isn't underlined in your Bible, you might want to do that. Ephesians 3. Verse 14 through 20, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I release that promise to you this morning. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, to the glory of God. To whom much is given, much is required. Some of you have been poured into and poured into and poured into and poured into for years, some decades. And one of the most strategic questions you could ever ask yourself is this: now what? Not another conference. You're like a sponge that needs to be squeezed. You can't carry anymore until you squeeze out what's in you. Now what? Now what? Bigger for God. And that doesn't always mean necessarily numerically. Okay, growth is healthy, right? So there is growth. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you what that is. But if you are tired of tolerating small thinking, small faith, small believing, I know it says a mustard seed. I know it. But Jude 20 says, beloved, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You got a mustard seed? Grow it into a tree. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted, and it grew up and it sprouted limbs so that others could come and bear fruit and give community. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thought that prophetic word this morning over Christy was powerful. And then the one about God opening our eyes, giving us clarity of vision. Lord, open our spiritual eyes this morning, God. Lord, we've been given more than we can realize. God, help us to ascertain what this means. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the name of Jesus. You've given us the blood of the Lamb. You've given us the Word of God. You've given us a seat with Christ in heavenly places. God, you've given us this house. You've given us this moment. And Lord, we have a Father who refuses to let our story be set in stone. Much has been given, much is required, but the good news is the Father himself has given us everything we need to fulfill it because the deal is already done. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The whole house, with all of us on our feet. Some of you have been carrying a story that somebody else wrote over you, a word a coach spoke, a word your father spoke. Earthly father, a word the enemy whispered, a failure you can't shake, a season you thought defined you. Hear me. That story is not set in stone. The Father is rewriting that now in this house, in this moment, not in tomorrow's Devo time. Right now, the Father is rewriting that story in this house, in this moment. If you're ready to believe God big again, if you're ready to step into the dominion of a son or daughter and not the shame of an orphan, if you're ready to walk in the big deal the Father has already cut for you, if you're ready to say, my house will serve the Lord and my story is big in my Father's hands, I want you to raise your hands right now where you're at and say, yes, Lord. Show me your glory, God. Show me your glory, Lord. Come, Lord. Because the Father is not asking you to clean yourself up. He's asking you to receive a fresh touch of his Holy Spirit right now. In this prophetic release, just lay hands on your heart right now. Father, I'm going to release this prophetically over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every word, every label, every limitation that was carved over these sons and daughters of God. I declare their stories are not set in stone. I release the spirit of sonship and daughtership in Jesus' name. I release the spirit of dominion in Christ Jesus. I release the spirit of multiplication. I release the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. Let them see the hope of their calling. Let them see the riches of their inheritance, O God. Let them see the exceeding greatness of your power toward them. Let them see the big deal you already cut for them at Calvary. Raise up fathers and mothers in this house, Lord. Saints who believe in God. Saints who go big. Saints who build houses of dominion in Jesus' name. Saints, I decree over you today, you are not leaving this place the way you came. You're leaving transformed, carrying something new. Go home different today than you came. Go big, believe in God, walk in the big deal, believe, build the house, bless the children, break the curse, become the saint heaven already sees in you. Your story is not set in stone. In that church, listen, the ink is in the blood of Jesus now. And that church is a big deal. If you receive this today, say yes, Lord, amen. Thank you.